Welcome to Hype, our Gilmore Girls special for summer. We are almost done. We are rewatching all of Gilmore Girls. We are very excited to be talking about the summer episode of Netflix. This is a special episode from Hype Podcast. I'm Marima, and as always, I am joined by Pam and Selena. Oh, the end is so in sight, guys.
I know.
So close.
I feel it's like so we'll literally be coming up on a year. Basically,
I know.
We started talking about it in February, so
yeah, I think you're right. This is like
it's
best,
literally been
the worst decision.
It's literally been a year in
a
the
year
life,
in the
you
life.
Guys.
A year in the hype.
A year in the hype life.
Yes. Aww. Oh, guys. Well, look, I'm not going to say that I'll be pleased when it's done, but I might be pleased when it's done. It's been a big thing.
I'm gonna miss it.
Well,
I might
I'm
go back and start
discussing
over.
It. And these ones are better because they're only 90 minutes. I didn't miss like trying to pack in watching a whole season into a few weeks.
Yeah. But you know what? Honestly, and this will tie into what we'll be talking about at some point in this episode. I feel like when you're discussing a season as a whole, you can only focus on the important things and just get rid of the filler. So. Mm-hmm. You know.
That is so appropriate for this
episode.
I thought
so, too.
How funny that you mentioned that. Okay, so we're gonna be talking all about summer, perhaps some filler, as Pam teased. If this is the first time you've listened, we have been rewatching all of Gilmore Girls on Hype Podcast, and we released special episodes for every season, plus every episode of the Netflix revival. We're talking about summer today. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter. We are at HyperbleHype. We are at HyperbleHype on Instagram if you want to send us some longer feedback about this show, maybe your thoughts for fall before we record that special. You can send us an email. We are hype@hyperbole.com. And of course, you can always leave a comment on this podcast post over on hyperbole.com, which is HYPABLE.com. And you can find us on Tumblr. We are hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And if you click on the little menu bar there, you will be able to find all of our hype specials and links to all of the previous Gilmore Girls ones in one place. So we just do the work for you guys, and you're welcome. All right, let's do it. Let's talk about summer. I have a feeling this might not be one of our longest episodes of Gilmore Girls, but we'll see. Selena, first of all, what did you think of this?
Well, as I kind of began to tease before we started recording, there are things that we're going to get into discussing, I know. But overall, I think I enjoyed it more than spring.
That is a big call.
I mean, spring just didn't really, there wasn't a lot to it, in my opinion. Summer definitely, shall we say, evoked some emotion in me, for better or worse. And I think that's why, like when I was watching it, I had a couple of several like WTF moments, but there were also really good moments, like Jess returning and other good moments. And I feel like it's sort of, it hit two extremes. And the more I've been thinking about it since watching it, the more I sort of feel positively about it. Like I can sort of shut out some of the issues that we're going to be talking about. I think I'm going to land on overall thinking that this one is pretty good. Weirdly, because there were some things that really bothered me, but I don't know. We'll see. What did you guys think?
Interesting. Yeah, I really hate this episode. It's super boring. Nothing happens.
Oh, really?
It's 100% filler.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I feel like some stuff happens. Like Michelle and Jess, and I don't know. I feel like there's some good things.
Huh. Look, I think Pam and I recorded that special about the entire series right after we watched it. And in that special, we did a little episode ranking of like where we liked all of them. And I have to say, rewatching it now, it's really interesting hearing what you think, obviously, Selena, without the context of like the entire show. But for me, that rating, I think, has been basically preserved. And in that rating, it was like, Summer was at the bottom for sure. Definitely at the bottom. What about you, Pam? Because we had the same thoughts on the episodes when we first watched them.
Yeah, I think that my thought on Summer still stands. It's my least favorite, but it's, I don't like hate all of it. Some parts are fine, like Selena said. I just really, these middle two episodes, like the pacing, it just became more and more apparent that it might not have been necessary to give all of the episodes 90 minutes. And in an age when Netflix doesn't really adhere to the basic, you know, 20-minute, 30-minute, 50-minute, 60-minute, like, episode format, like, there are some weird time codes on certain Netflix original shows. I just don't really understand why they felt the need to... I mean, I know it was, like, Amy's decision and stuff like that, but I just really felt like a lot of it could have been cut, and a lot of Spring might have been able to be cut, and they could have done, like, one 90-minute episode that was Spring and Summer.
Yeah, that's true. We kind of teased doing that on Hype, actually, but you guys wanted separate episodes, so here we are.
I'm actually glad we didn't, because I do find these two episodes very different. And again, it probably does have something... Yeah, and it, because, like I said, like Spring kind of was a little bit like, nothing really too exciting happened. And yeah, I feel like Summer like hit a few different emotional extremes that I'm glad we get to talk about sort of separately.
Yeah, that's true. I think for me, it's not that I dislike it. It's just that I am bored by it. There are many more moments in summer where I, like, as I was rewatching it, where I was just like, oh, like, how much longer does this bit have to go? Versus I didn't have that as much in the other episodes, which is definitely, I think, how I'm sort of judging it. But I would agree with Pam. I mean, I've kind of been campaigning for, like, the 60-minute Gilmore Girls director's cut since we started doing this. I think basically they all almost could be cut down to an hour. You know, maybe slightly longer for the opener and the finale, but yeah, these two episodes, even if they weren't merged, they definitely could have been shorter. But that said, I mean, some things do happen in this, and I kind of feel like you were talking about the differences between them. Spring almost felt like the Rory episode, and Summer kind of feels more like a Lorelai episode. I feel like there's kind of a lot more going on with her than there almost has been in the rest of the show so far. So let's start with her, because I'm sure some of your thoughts that you might have possibly might be related to your favorite character. Could that be true, Selena? So what do you think about what's happening with Lorelai this episode? I mean, in brief, like, she's kind of having major issues in a lot of aspects of her life. Her and Luke are having problems very clearly. She's having some problems with Rory towards the end with the book, but I think we'll keep that till we talk maybe more about Rory as well. She's not speaking with Emily. She's having trouble at the inn. Like, her not hiring the chef is becoming a significant problem, and it's a factor in her fights with Luke. And, you know, Michelle is leaving, and she's doing the musical, and there's a lot going on. So what do you feel like about where she's up to in this?
Yeah, I find it really interesting that you say that, like, this is kind of more Lorelai-centric, because when you say it, like, I see it, but I think I really see these revival episodes as being very Rory-centric, you know, and I think, obviously, even though this episode is sort of does feature Lorelai at a bunch of crossroads, for me, I'm kind of still feeling like, oh, well, you know, Lorelai... she's got her life figured out. Like, even with the stuff that happens here, I still feel like, well, she's Lorelai. She's going to figure it out. With Rory, she's just at such a loss that her struggles sort of, I feel like, take up more room in this revival, because it is about Rory finding her way. And I actually do kind of like that they spend some time in this episode showing that Lorelai, even though... she is older and more settled, like, she's still Lorelai, and she's still, this show is still about the both of these girls trying to find their way, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed seeing Lorelai. If this is like the four episode arc is kind of like a like one long story, then this is kind of when we're in like the dip before the rise, if you know what I mean. Like, this is when it goes as south as like it's going down and then it's going to go down a little bit in the finale and then it's going to rise back up again. And I think that's great. I think that is great that she's kind of like everything is being messed up for her throughout this episode. And she, the book thing, I found, I'm really excited to talk about that with you guys because I found that really, really exciting, different moment than something you might see in other shows. And then I just, I'm sorry, I thought the ending was amazing. Like I laughed because it was so stupid, but I also think it's something that like I could doing see wild? Myself do. Yeah.
Oh god!
It was one of those moments. This is
a division in the fandom. Yeah,
this is one of those moments when I was just like Lorelai, like your soul, my soul, like we're just on this path of collision, in the wild, and I love that. So I found it. There's so many points in this that I want to talk about, but as a whole, I thought it was very rewarding, and I can't wait to see how it all comes together in the finale, if it does.
All right, let's start with Luke then, because, I mean, they've been together for, what, a decade at this point? Luke says this line that really kind of got to me where he says, you've got your life and I've got mine. And, you know, I think I was glad after that because she addresses it and says, like, is that how two people who are partners are meant to kind of operate? Because that's really been the sense that you've had in the revival almost, that they're still living these sort of half separate lives. And you know, we see it earlier when Luke's talking about Liz and TJ, and Lorelai's kind of shielding her from Emily and all of this stuff. I mean, what do we think about where they're up to in their relationship? Like, is it just another example of this sort of them being arrested in time and this making sense if it had happened immediately after season 7?
I honestly think you hit it, like you hit the nail on the head, because this is where the showrunner's plans for the series like starts to show, you know, the fact that like they clearly might have done something like this or maybe exactly this after season 6, like then it would have made sense. But 10 years into a relationship, if we're to actually believe that they've been together that whole time, I would be shocked that anybody could survive that way. And we're given like this idea too that everything is fine, like they've gotten over like the biggest hurdle they had in the originals, like at the end of the original series, which was April, and yet they still like they still can't come together. It's just very it's really sad, kind of like you said. It just really, it bothers me too.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's also one of the things that really stuck out to me, like if we're kind of, it's hard for me because I want to say like if we're kind of accepting that this is supposed to be 10 years ago, but I can't because it's not. So I'm like, my mind really buckles. Like I'm not ready to accept. I know it's true, but I can't. I have to look at them like it's 10 years later. But
yeah, of course. No, of course. That's exactly how we have to look at them. That's the entire problem.
Which is so frustrating. Yeah, because you're so right. It is supposed to be 10 years ago that all of this has happened. It's like they've been in ice for 10 years. But one of the things that did sort of really intrigue me and make me sort of really think was that also Luke had that line when he said, oh, well, you know, you're the one who set this up. I'm just going along with it. And she's like, I didn't set this up. And they kind of have this realization that, like, first of all, total lack of communication clearly between the two of them, but also just this general thing in Lorelai's life when she kind of doesn't realize sometimes, you know, she sets the ground rules and people sort of fall into, I don't know, it's an interesting thing because I think it's sort of a big part of Lorelai's personality, that she expects people to fight back, you know, and sometimes they don't and then she doesn't know what to do. And I loved seeing that because I think it's so true. But I also, again, it doesn't make sense that this has been going on for the past 10 years.
Yeah, there's like no way that this relationship could have operated like this, especially when you're meant to buy into them being soulmates, right? Like no one, yeah. I don't think any of us are watching this show and being like, well, maybe they're going to break up and like the show's going to leave them. I mean, like that's not, I just can't, from what we've seen so far, like you just can't imagine that that's where it's going. So you're meant to buy into the relationship and yet they make it hard because the lack of communication stuff was definitely the major theme in the original seasons. And now, like, it just makes no sense at all. Pam, you're totally right about the April thing. Like, that's the thing that kept them apart. Also, you know, the lack of communication, lack of trust over Christopher, like these things where they didn't know everything that was happening with each other. That's where they fought.
Mm-hmm. Also, the like, even thinking back to earlier episodes in the revival, like Luke thinking that him saying "I like that kid" is
right,
like a, mm-hmm. a fire signal, yeah, smoke signal for Lorelai. Yeah, to say let's have a baby. It's just, you kind of start to wonder how they've even survived this long, and maybe it is because they're just blissfully oblivious to the other's lives. But again, like, that's a really sad, unfulfilling relationship, especially for viewers, because one of you said we're just led to believe that they're meant to be, and then the fact that they can't even, like, they don't share every part of their lives together is so disheartening.
Mm. Right. And it also makes me think of, and Selena is going to yell at me, but, like, Emily, all of Emily's digs about them being, like, housemates or them being, you know, whatever. I mean, you can kind of see what she means in terms of, like, if they're living these totally separate lives, like, that kind of is what they're doing. You know, they're not really partners. Like, Lorelai goes to this thing to always be like, he's my partner, like, you know, he's the guy I've chosen, etc., etc. But like, that's in words, not in actions, as far as we can see, because like you said, they are kind of living these sort of parallel, slightly separate lives, and yet they're not, and that's the thing.
It is weird, and it's the whole thing. And obviously we can talk ourselves into a hole about this, but again, it is a thing that you might expect from someone who had been living together for like a year, you know, or less.
Right.
And had had this on and off. Yeah, exactly. And had, because that's the thing with Lorelai and Luke in the original series, the thing that sort of, it made total sense because they had been really close without ever crossing the line to being together. So they had sort of fallen into this very natural rhythm of being like as together as they could be without really being together, which meant that they developed this, oh, well, I don't really know everything that's going on with your life, except I totally do because we're good friends and you tell me everything, but I'm not really supposed to acknowledge it. So we're just going to like this pretend thing. And mm-hmm. and that transition into them being together, but still kind of having the instinct to keep themselves like separate, that for me, that's like one of the things I was like, wow, that's such a good development. Like, oh my god, Amy Sherman-Palladino is a genius. This is such an like a natural way for these two characters to transition. But 10 years later, no, like that's when sort of Emily's comments, if those had been made like 10 years ago too, that again, yes, that would have made total sense, and that would have been sort of a chance to like, wow, so they're together, but all those years of this friendship has kind of like messed up their ability to be a real couple. Like, what's that? How's that going to go? That's really interesting. But they are supposed to be past it right now. So it's a weird conversation to have.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like this is probably something that's going to come up in basically everything we talk about, but you know, let's see how we go. Let's talk about Lorelai's professional stuff. Because I find that Michelle. Really interesting. Yeah, it's kind of the focus of this episode. Like, we've seen her worried about Michelle in spring. You know, she was kind of worried that he was going to leave. But also we see how her inability to hire a new chef and all of that is affecting her relationship with Luke. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just find this bit totally ridiculous at this point. Like, it does seem very Lorelai. At the same time, I'm like, don't be a child. Like, just hire someone. Suki's not coming back. This is ridiculous.
Isn't she assuming that Suki's coming back? Like, isn't that the thing? That Suki's kind of like just saying, yeah, I'm just going to go to the woods or whatever it was.
Well, but we've seen no hint in the show that, like, that she is coming back, right?
No,
like,
that's
like,
true.
Oh, it's meant to be a little while and then it's mm-hmm. been a year. So, you know, like, Suki had already been gone for a while when we started in winter. And now we're in summer. And she's still, like, what, Luke goes there and cooks burgers every Tuesday, and then what happens the other days? Because, like, they can't get a chef to come, and, like, the whole thing just seems ridiculous. But, I mean, the Michelle stuff is like, genuinely really sad. What did you think about it?
I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was one of my favorite. I mean, I didn't want him to leave last episode. I was, like, desperately hoping it wouldn't happen, But I like it, and he's right, you know, he does need to move on. Like, that's not, it's never necessarily been his dream, and And I really enjoy that that commitment to sending him off in a way that feels right, because Michelle has been there from the very beginning and he has been in the background for a lot of the main show, but they brought him back and they're sort of really intent on giving him a story that matters. And in that scene when they were in the secret bar, I was just like, I was so sad for them. I thought it was a wonderful, one of the most beautiful moments in the revival, I think.
I agree too. And I like that was the setting, because it was almost so sad that this is the end of the line for like their journey together in this chapter, like in the Dragonfly chapter. So the fact that it was kind of coupled with a little bit of comedy was really nice, I thought. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I like the secret bar stuff. I mean, they've mentioned it a couple times in this. They keep being like, just go to the secret bar. And you're like, what is this?
I was
like,
really hoping that we'd
know about.
Yeah, I was really hoping we'd get to see it. And it fit. Like, it wasn't just like something that was tossed in. It's something that is totally believable. Like, you know, that Stars Hollow would have this because Taylor is like so against everything. So it was great. I loved that.
Yeah. And Lane and Zach playing the music, and like them all having to pack up when Taylor walks past, and like, you know, whoever on the bike, like being the distraction. I mean, that whole scene was actually just great. That was all super fun. But yeah, I guess we'll see. Like, what's Lorelai going to do now? Is she going to hire someone new in fall? Or is that maybe like just the end of her kind of professional storyline in this? I mean, there's a whole like 90 minutes left to go, so there's time to hire like every staff, that like every possible vacancy that could be filled still. We'll see. Okay, so what else? So she's not talking to Emily. Selena, do you have any thoughts on what's happening with the two of them?
No, I think it's just the same old with them. Like, it's very sad because that's what happens. And I think it's just they're both just equally stubborn at this point. And I guess I get it. I mean, and I obviously, I've said before, I get it more from Lorelai's side just because I happen to sort of see her side more. But I mean, everyone's been in that situation when you don't want to be the first to speak, you know, like when you're so far out. And these two... I mean, yeah, it's very, I hope they work it out before the end.
Yeah, it is weird to me that given that Richard died like so recently, according to the show, that, you know, Lorelai is so apparently unconcerned when Rory's like, Emily was in bed till noon and like this stuff is happening. You're like, I mean, you can be mad, but also like she just lost her husband. I mean, I know you lost your father, but like that doesn't mean you shouldn't be looking out for each other and maybe looking out more for her, because Emily, I think, has proven herself possibly to be the more stubborn of the two. Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, we actually don't get that much of Emily in this episode, which we will get to. Okay, what else is going on with Lorelai? The musical? All right, let's just get this out of the way. Selena, what would you like to review Stars Hollow the musical for us?
Yes, A+. It was beautiful.
Oh my god.
I mean, look, I think I had, I don't even know what to say.
Did you know this was coming?
No, I didn't. Oh, I actually, like, I knew the word musical had popped up before, but I was thinking, oh, fun. It's going to be like, who's going to play Lorelai and like some shit. And I didn't expect them to just throw in a completely unrelated. And like, my main problem was that Kirk wasn't even in it. Like, that was kind of offensive to me. Like, how dare they? What a musical, and it's not Kirk.
He was too busy with I don't even know. Uber is gone, right? So there was no. You're right. There's no excuse.
He wasn't even in this episode. There was no Kirk.
I was watching this episode, being like, why does the Stars Hollow stuff feel kind of hollow to me?
It's because Kirk wasn't there.
I think it's because Kirk was missing. No, I really think that. Like, he's such a grounding character in those scenes.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, sorry. So, yeah, so that was my main concern. But I think like, them just slotting, because like it wasn't funny. Like, can we just get that out of the way? Like, there was nothing entertaining. Like, it was like the singing was fun. It was just, it doesn't make any sense. It was like slotting a YouTube video in there. But what I did think, like, as it went on and on and on and on, was I was beginning to think, well, maybe that's like, that's it. Like, it's this extremely meta moment when we are sitting there watching with our mouths open as Lorelai sits there with her mouth open watching this thing. Like, maybe that was exactly the reaction they were going for, which I mean, okay.
That's it's generous.
It does that. Okay, you know me. That's how I view everything. But I mean, seriously though, if that was what they were going for, then they succeeded, because I was flabbergasted by how they forced me to watch this nonsense. But then I keep thinking, well, that's how Lorelai felt, so maybe they were just trying to make us feel like Lorelai. I don't know.
Pam, what do you guys think? Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The musical is like, I have such strong feelings about it both ways, because on one hand, I was really excited to see Sutton Foster, but on the other hand, it dragged on a little bit too long. Mm-hmm. I think they could have condensed that a lot more. And it was clearly just like, we've got, clearly it was just one of those things where it's like, we've got Sutton Foster, who's amazing, and she's like legendary, and also she was on Bunheads, but like also on Broadway for like ages. So we have to give her more to do. We don't want it to be like a Jonathan Groff in Frozen only gets like one stupid song, but it did drag on a little bit for me.
Yeah. I really hate this. And you know why I hate it? Because I am obsessed with Sutton Foster. I love her so much. I also love Christian Ball, who was the guy in this. Mm. And actually, they were married once upon a time. Trivia. And I think is like the first time they've performed together since they were divorced. So, like, they're very good together. They're both Tony Award winners. Like, they're both musical theater people who have transitioned to TV. Obviously, Sutton Foster is now younger. Christian Ball starred in Smash.
So that's where I know him from.
Yeah, he was the writer in Smash. So like they do a bunch of stuff, and they're both brilliant. And I hate this show for making me dislike both of them, because I think the problem is like it could have worked, but they didn't cut to literally anything else. Like you just see the stage, and then you see Lorelai like shaking her head and writing things down. And in the original show, we saw a bunch of this kind of stuff, like Miss Patty had shows on, and you know, like Kirk did his things, whatever. The reason that they worked is because you'd see a bit of it, then you'd like cut to what Rory was
like
doing
in the background, like,
what some like Lorelai and Suki like having a conversation or whatever, and then you'd come back to it. And so it was split up, and it wasn't this, I looked at the time codes, it's just 10 minutes of like this terrible musical. And obviously it's meant to be bad, you know. Obviously, you're meant to think, like, you're on Lorelai's side. But then I don't think you're meant to want to skip 10 minutes of the episode, which is what I basically ended up doing this time. Like, I watched some of it, and then I was like, you know what? I've sat through this. I can't do this again. And then I just, like, skipped to the end of it because it was too much. It was too much. And I think...
But isn't that how Lorelai felt, though?
Yeah, but I don't think that's the point.
No, like, maybe not.
Again, I think you're being very generous, and that would be great. But I don't think Gilmore Girls has shown itself to be an incredible, like, musing, like, meta thing up to this point. I think, you know, Amy Sherman-Palladino is a huge musical theater fan. She's kind of been involved in that world for a long time. And obviously, Sutton Foster, like Pam said, was on Bunheads, and there are a bunch of Bunheads cameos in this. And like, if you get Sutton Foster, obviously you're gonna make her sing, and it could have been really cute. And if Sutton Foster can't make something charming, like, you have a problem, because she is amazing. So, yeah, the musical itself, okay, not great. But like, I mean, the plot of the actual thing is very Starts Hollow. You know, oh, we're putting on a musical, and everyone thinks it's amazing, and Lorelai thinks it's terrible. Like, that is very Stars Hollow. But the scene afterwards where she's listing all of her problems in it actually reminded me of the scene after Richard's funeral, where she is saying all the things that she didn't like about her father, basically, and she, like, can't stop, even though she sees everyone else being like, no, what are you doing? This is great. I don't know. I don't know if it was meant to remind me of that, but it definitely did as I was watching it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't make that connection. I think for me, like, that was very different, because, like, the emotional state was so, like, she kind of knew the minute she started talking that like she shouldn't, and she was drunk and all that stuff. And here it was more like she was like, you guys, like the magic, what was it, the magic curtain or whatever, like I'm drawing it back, what's happening, why can't you see what I can see? We were like probably supposed to empathize a lot more with her in this scene than we were in the Richard funeral scene, I think. But I see what you mean now.
Well, I mean that it seemed like another instance of her kind of not being able to let something go, because I didn't find
it particularly
funny.
But this time it made sense. Okay, well, this time for me it made sense that she would make all
it
these concerns
sense.
Because it was
no,
horrible.
No, it
like,
totally makes sense.
That
but
the
did
Richard
you find
scene,
it funny?
She should have. Oh no, no, not at all. Because it was like, again, she was just pointing out all the things that we had just seen. You know.
Right, but and it's also like, you know that you live in this weird town where people like weird stuff. This it mm-hmm. should not be a surprise to you at this point that they see this terrible musical and go like, oh my god, it's amazing. And then the joke, of course, later being that they sing Sutton Foster sings that song that is actually, you know, very good, and Lorelai's like in tears, and everyone else is like, well, this is getting cut. But the whole thing just felt really flat to me, which was a shame. Because they're actually singing, they're not, you know, they're hamming it up a little bit, but they're singing in their proper voices. And like, these are Tony Award winning voices, guys.
You know what? Honestly, I was thinking about this. If they had cut that scene out, like the extended musical scene out, and just released it as like bonus footage, it probably would have gone, it just would have settled better with like people like us that kind of found that it dragged on a little bit. Because by the time you get to this part in the story, you just really, like, you're trying to figure out what's going on with Lorelai. Is she going to bounce? Is she going to stay put? Is she going to have this, like, major revelation? So it completely takes you out of that, like, because you want to see, like, your primary characters develop, and you're so close to the end that you start to wonder why this is necessary, and that kind of takes you out of the experience. So, I don't think, like, because thinking back on it, like, it wasn't bad, like you said, and they're Tony Award-winning actors, so like it's amazing that they got them not only to like make cameos but to do all this. But if they had just released like that 10-minute segment, 12-minute segment, I mean, I would have been happy with that. I probably would have thought it was better than I did the first time I watched it through.
Yeah, we probably would have thought it was really funny and cute if they released the whole thing, and then, you know, in the show they just cut to various bits and then Lorelai like scribbling, and then the whole thing took up, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, something like that. Well, we've solved the case, so we may as well stop these episodes. Okay, so maybe this is a good place to talk about Rory, because I feel like we kind of can't really talk about, you know, her doing Wild and sort of what this means for Lorelai going forward before we talk about the book. Yeah, I just saying that out loud makes me shake my head. So let's skip over to Rory for a second. Rory's having some problems in this. I mean, I definitely agree with you, Selena, that this revival so far has been Rory's story. But I do think that, I do think that Summer, you know, gave us a chance to kind of see maybe how some of that stuff was affecting Lorelai.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of
for
the first time.
Which was nice, actually.
And maybe like Rory seeming like a smaller presence in this had to do with her lack of jet setting. And the fact that this entire episode is just set in Stars Hollow, which was nice. You know, it was nice to be back there, kind of, when Kirk was missing. But, you know, Rory, we saw at the end of the last episode, Rory was moving home. And in this, somehow, the Stars Hollow Gazette that we've never heard of before is a big deal. Rory ends up as editor for no money, working with two sort of unenthused employees. She is mad at Logan, because this is the thing that I was like, Rory, what is going on in your brain? Like, she has that scene where she's mad at Logan because Logan says, you can come and stay, but basically my fiance has moved in, so you'll have to stay in a hotel. And she's like, oh, what, like a geisha? Like, you're just gonna, what, come visit me in the hotel? It's like, honey, you're the other woman. Like, this is how it works. And then she's still dating Paul for some reason, although we don't see him in this. And then Jess is back, and then she's writing a book. But let's start with Logan, I suppose. Selena, update us. How are you feeling about this situation?
I just don't understand why this revival is just so intent on on making Logan the worst, especially if what I've heard about the ending is true. I just don't understand what's happening. Like, you guys, I really liked him in the original show. Why is he so the worst? But no, one of the things, I mean, I know I keep saying this, but one of the things I think is good about even the revival episodes, in all their horribleness, is that you see so much that reflects, like, actual people and actual life and actual terrible things that people do in actual real life. And I think the Logan and Rory thing, like, obviously this isn't like a Hollywood true confession thing here, but I, being the Rory in someone like Logan's life, like, it's, you know those guys, like, you know those guys that have a girlfriend or that have someone like that, and still they say to you, like, oh, but, you know, I really care about you, or, like, I can talk to you, or, like, blah, 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 blah. And, like, obviously, you don't fall for their bullshit because you are awesome, but someone like Rory maybe is a little bit less awesome, but you can see, like, you can see how Logan pulls her in, like, and you know that happens in real life all the time, you know, and you, the guys like Logan, and you can say to yourself, oh, but he's a nice guy, oh, but he really likes me, oh, but he really, like, gives me attention, and someone like Rory obviously needs that, like, she craves this kind of attention because she doesn't get it from anywhere else. Like, Logan is this idea of this life that she really wants to have, and she, like, letting go of that, it's probably even safer for her to be, like, the secret other woman, because she doesn't have to have any of the family responsibilities, she doesn't have to commit to Logan, but she still feels like this dream of, oh, but Logan loves me and cares about me and needs me and I'm needed. And that, like, is such a like, slice of life that I appreciate it for that. I just wish it didn't have to be Rory, and it didn't have to be the main character who had to embody this shitty storyline, because that's what it is. But it's real.
I kind of just wonder, like, I mean, I totally get where you're coming from with all of that, but if she really felt like that passionately, like, why aren't they still dating? Like, why isn't she just having a long engagement? Like, these but are all questions, like, that I have. Passionate.
It's more like you can't let go because he's like, oh, but, you know, I need you. And she looks at the rest of her life and she's like, oh, you know, nothing else.
Yeah, I know. But still, it's like, because you're right. Like, in a way, she does want to be with him. I don't know. I don't understand that whole
thing. No, it's the thing. It's so terrible.
I would just like to know, like, because they never address, like, why she isn't just, like, with him. Because she's clearly jealous when he's with somebody else. And honestly, like, any sane person would wonder, like, huh, why am I feeling jealous? Could it be because I'm still in love with my boyfriend? Maybe we should have given it another shot, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, it's just... that is actually, Pam, that is such a great point. Like, they, like, why aren't they together? Because they haven't addressed the proposal in this so far.
And it's not like they wouldn't, like, they wouldn't be well together. There's no reason for them not to be together if that's what they really want. Because they're both, like, they, like, clearly Logan doesn't care that Rory is broke. Like, they both come from good families, so they can be all conceited and, like, entitled together. His dad's, like, is okay with her now, so there's no reason for him, like, you know, I don't know. It's and then, like, 10 years later, too.
Yeah. Well,
just, like, 10 years later, too, it's like, I understand that she wouldn't have wanted to get married straight out of college, but if he had asked, like, after she had finished, like, with the Obama trail, or after she had been writing a few years, I feel like she would have been in a, like, in a different mindset to be like, yeah, okay, well, maybe we could try it out. I don't know.
I just think that speaks to neither of them lacks the guts to make that commitment. And who knows, like, again, what's going to happen in the final episode, but I mean, you guys don't, I don't know, but it just feels, you know, cause that would require Logan to tell his fiance, you know, I'm going to break up with you and be with Rory. And it would require Rory to admit to herself that this is official. You know, I don't know. I just feel like, don't you feel like you've had this friend or, like, known this person who've gone through something like this?
Honestly, like, I have, like, I have, like, been this person, but not like with like in like the other woman situation. But I feel like it just bothers me a lot because I've been in Roy's shoes where it's like,
yeah,
this like all of these things align, but like you shouldn't mm-hmm. be together. So you're not, mm-hmm. but the thing, I think the fact, like what really bothers me is that it's never addressed why. And mm-hmm. because so many years have passed and they're in like completely different stages in their life, I would have liked to understand more why this can only be what it is and they still need to keep having their strange like trade going on while Logan is engaged to somebody else. I don't know. I think I just needed more explanation because it's like, yeah. it's wrong either way, but I would just like more.
Once again, it comes down to the 10-year thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I have a question because I don't think, and when I was rewatching this episode, what struck me as weird is like, when this situation happened in the original series, and I mean both when Logan like cheated on Rory as she perceived it when they were kind of on that break and he slept with all the bridesmaids, and also when Rory was cheating with Dean, in both of those situations, the show codes it as bad, and we see that from Rory's perspective in the first instance and from Lorelai's in the second, right? Like Rory's all caught up in this thing with Dean, but we see from Lorelai that this is a bad thing that she's doing, like that she shouldn't be doing this. I don't think this is coded as bad, that what they're doing is bad. I mean, Lorelai doesn't seem to have a problem. And also that means Logan is not being coded as like a bad guy in this, you know?
Yeah, that's
annoying.
In the
show we had episodes and we had seasons almost where like Logan was a bad guy and Rory had to like quote unquote change him. And then like, I mean, for a lot of Gilmore Girls, Logan is great. Like I actually don't have a problem with Logan. I find him kind of bland, but I mean, he's fine. But then in this, he's not crazy for being like, oh, you need to go and stay in a hotel. Like the show isn't telling us, the show is just demonstrating to us that Rory is jealous about that.
And so, she also, I mean, like, takes just... it lying down. Literally, she's just like, you know, she says no, but she also, like, isn't offended that he would ask her to do that. You know, she's not,
right.
I don't know. And, you know, I think the real problem here lies in the fact that we got over the player Logan when Rory and him started dating. Like, she, for all intents and purposes, fixed him. Or like,
yeah,
changed
it's like character
him.
Regression now.
Right, exactly. So
for
why?
Both of them.
And he's not old enough to be going through a midlife crisis. So
well, neither is she, right?
Right.
And like, she's doing what she did with Dean. So, and she knows that that didn't. I mean, I just feel like watching this, they're setting it up. Like they're setting them up, right? When you're watching Summer, you're like, this is a very pro Logan. Mm-hmm. The revival is very pro Logan.
Actually. No, I'm going to say no to that.
You don't think so?
Not this one. I was going to say I very specifically feel like this was an anti-Logan episode. Because he says that to her, like, stay in a hotel. I think that was supposed to be the breaking point. I do. Like, based on what I've seen so far, that felt like an, oh, shit, this is really terrible. And then she does break it off with him. You know, she does end it. And I think... based on that, what I'm
but we're meant to be sad
seeing,
about that, right?
No, I don't think so. I didn't see
really?
It that way. I saw it as us being like, okay, well, this is unhealthy. Good thing that Rory finally got out of that.
Interesting. Okay,
I see.
That's really
that is really interesting, and I because I didn't feel like that was closure. I just felt like that was another one of their little spats.
Yeah, same.
Okay, well, I saw it as them being, which is why I'm kind of like confused now because obviously, like, I know he's going to come back in some form and. In the last episode, but for me it felt like, okay, she got out of there, good for you, Rory. Now where's she?
No. Yeah, I guess I can see that. Like, there's a difference between what like us, the three of us talking about this, feel and what the audience was meant to feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the audience did feel, like intent versus whatever. And I feel like I totally agree. When that happened, I was like, oh, thank God this is done. I mean, it didn't feel like total closure, but it did feel like
no.
That
but
was
it
the
felt
end
like she
set
a line, like okay, the line was very far, but at least there was one, you know?
Right, but I mean, if we were just watching this in like if this was just an episode of Gilmore Girls, what I would expect to happen after that fight is for him to turn up on her doorstep the next episode and be like, "I'm done with that girl,"
mm-hmm.
you know. I want you, because we've basically seen this plot already. Like, that is basically what happened.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just conditioned from their fights to be like, okay, and then, you know, there's going to be a big declaration or something. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I feel like Yeah, I feel like the show is kind of was gearing us has been gearing us towards this, and like you said, this feels like maybe just the dip, the low point in the year.
Yeah, exactly. But like it's interesting like a
that
breaking
you read it
point.
As an end.
No, yeah. No, I think that I sort of I'm not necessarily an end of them, but an end of this. You know, like an end of this crap.
Yeah.
Said, okay, like, yeah, he could totally show up and say, I'm done with this woman. And then I would see it as, okay, he, like, the show is acknowledging that this is terrible. And he is acknowledging that this is terrible. And even though this is not the ending I want, and even though I don't think that they should end up together because I think it's unhealthy and awful, I understand, like, okay, so they were saying this behind the other people's backs was just meant to show that they are can't resist each other or whatever the hell, like, which I would find annoying, but I would understand it.
That makes sense. I totally agree with that. Yeah, it definitely does feel like the end of this situation. Yeah, sorry, I misinterpreted. Okay, I mean, forget about Logan, because Jess is back and he looks great.
That introduction shot, like when he's standing in the doorway, like, hello, that was great.
Yeah, Selena, so I mean, Pam and I've had a lot of time to think about this and perhaps rewatch this. What do you think? I mean, you know, totally objectively, Logan has been a terrible person in this, and Jess shows up and is pretty great. So
Jess is just the best. Like, what is even, like, it's just so great, like, this, the development of him. And we've talked at length about how it's like Logan and Jess have been on the reverse, you know, paths of each other, and Jess is just the, I mean, in the way that they sort of embody different sides of Rory too. Like, Jess is like the ultimate version of what Rory could be, you know, living the independent life and publishing his books and doing all of that. And like, that is, it's something that every time I see him on Rory's behalf, I like feel regret, not for like whether she should be with him romantically, but just that she could have that kind of life too, you know. And I think every time he comes back, it is probably sort of to remind Rory of what she really should be doing with her life. And like, literally every time he comes back, he's like, you should write a book. That's like his reason is just to be her. Maybe he died like 10 years ago, and every time it's just her subconscious.
It's a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a good theory.
Like the ghost of boyfriend's past, you know?
Oh, that's how the show ends. Final four words. I mean, Pam, do you have some coherent thoughts on this matter?
Honestly, the thing about this moment was that I had just been waiting the whole revival for Jess to show up. So
yeah, same.
When he finally did, I was just like, oh my God, it's happening. And it was great. And he did his Jess thing. And it kind of like is a throwback to, you know, the way he pushed Rory to go back to school or to realize that, you know, she shouldn't treat people like dirt. It's in so many ways, Jess is the voice of reason, which is so funny because he's not when he first shows up. And it's just, I'm so happy with the way that his character has progressed, because while a lot of people have taken two steps back, like, he has just gotten better, and it's so nice. Yeah. I'm so happy for his character.
Like, you guys don't answer this, but is that the Jess? Is that all we're going to get? Like, I'm going to be so mad.
Well, you'll have to wait and see.
Because you got three episodes of Logan and just showed up.
This is so not
summer.
Fair. Like, why? I don't understand. Dean, what the hell? I mean, you guys, I just need Dean to come back and, like, save the day. Because at this point, like, I just need Logan to go away by any means necessary. I've reached that point when I put all my trust in Dean.
Yeah, wow, that is the low point. That is a summer low. I still maintain that I think Jess has had the most significant character development of any character on this show.
Yeah.
And I do include like Rory and Lorelai in that, because, you know, they've obviously changed and matured, perhaps less so in the Netflix revival. But Jess went from, exactly like you said, Pam, that character who we first met to this guy. I mean, the fact that he can come in and have one scene and seem to kind of put Rory's life back on track and you know, I think it makes sense. Like, you have those friends from when you're younger, you're perhaps more open, or, you know, you're less guarded than you are as an adult, certainly. And you talk about things you want to do, and you talk about, like, the kind of person you want to be, and all of this stuff. And those people really know you. And, you know, if you talk to them later, like, you can always usually connect with a person like that. And obviously, like, there's this other aspect of Jess and Rory's relationship, but, like, you kind of get the sense that, you know, maybe, like, they haven't seen each other for, I think they say it's like 4 years, but, you know, maybe they kind of keep up to date via, like, Luke and Lorelai. Like, they're not totally separate from each other. And it's just, I mean, just having Jess, like, swing back into town and be charming and throw Luke's hat away, like, this is, I needed this after watching Summer. I really, and I was like, you know what? I deserve this. I deserve this.
Treating myself to a Jess scene.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. Yeah. Like,
but this is, I mean, honestly, like, these small moments is one of the things that makes me like a lot of Summer overall, because it does give us a lot of small things that we need.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, Jess aside, like, his presence aside, he's there as kind of a plot point to remind Rory that, hey, you want to write a book, maybe, I don't know, that's a thing we've talked about before. So she's going to write a book. And, for sure. I mean, we don't have to talk about Paul, like, that's still the worst, but let's talk about the book.
Yes.
And she's going to call it, do you have a title for us?
The Gilmore Girls.
Oh no, what a surprise.
And then she's gonna, it's gonna be like this. something I don't remember the pilot, but it's gonna be something from the pilot. And she didn't find money for this private school, so she had to go to Emily and Richard, and it was my first day at Chilton, blah blah blah. It's gonna be great. I can't wait to read it.
Like, that's how it's gonna finish. It's it's open like on Frodo writing Frodo writing the book
Welcome
at the
to
end of Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's going to be, you know, there and back again, a Gilmore's tale.
Oh my God. Amazing. Okay. I also agree. Like, that's exactly how I think it's going to end. So the book, I mean, this is complicated, right? So
yes.
I guess, oh no, I don't want to make it complicated. I want you to make a black and white decision of which there is no gray area. Whose side are you on about this, Rory or Lorelai? And I'm going to start with Pam.
Well, it's mostly, she wants to tell it from Lorelai's point of view. She wants to start with Lorelai. So, of course, like, Lorelai should have a say over whether she gets her story told or not. It's like the considerate thing to do, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And Selena?
Okay, do I get to explain?
No, you have to choose one, and then we will actually discuss, but I think that this is more fun.
I am going to conditionally say, I don't know what the words, but I'm going to say that I am tentatively on Rory's side.
Yes, I would agree with that. All right, you're allowed to explain now that everyone will be yelling at us,
because I'm not
at least one of us.
That is, yeah, and I just wanted to, I'm not against the Lorelai side, and I wanted to say I was on Lorelai's side, but what I am on Rory's side about is I think her writing the book, I mean, first of all, the idea, like, she, you know, I'm going to write this book. It's the thing I want to do most in my life. I'm so ready. Yeah, girl, you're going to want to write a million books. Like, you're going to get 3 pages in and it's going to be really hard and you're never going to finish. Like, get over it. Like, you know, you're whatever. but the idea of her wanting to write this book, of her wanting to tell this story, of her trying to claw her way out of a rut by telling her own story is a brilliant idea. And Lorelai, like,
yeah,
I know
it's Jess's
that
idea.
Yes, but Lorelai, she has gone like above and beyond. Like she said, she's gone above and beyond her whole life for Rory, trying to make her life, like, trying to get the best life for Rory ever, and that's amazing. But I don't think this is when you stop. Like, it seems like Lorelai, she, you know, she was, this was the point when she said, you know, I finally given enough. I'm not gonna give you my life. I think that is totally fair, but I don't think you say no to Rory. I think you say, like, kind of what she said, but in a less extreme way. I think you say, okay, well, why don't you just start from your side? Like, that's, I know that's exactly what Lorelai said, but, like, just be kinder about it. Because I don't think the idea of Rory wanting to write this book is a bad one. And I don't think she, at that point, when she's so in the rut she's in, I don't think that she should be shut down like that. But I think Lorelai's reasoning is 100% fair. I don't think Rory has the right or the privilege, or should automatically have the right to tell Lorelai's story. But I think it's great that she wants to tell her own. So I think the conversation could be more constructive. And I think like that's on Lorelai for being so aggressive in her dismissal of it. But I think Lorelai is fair in what she actually wants, if they could sit down and talk about it, you know, like adults.
Well, sure. I think that also it's kind of one of those things where, even though they're so close, like, you worry that, like, your past might be misinterpreted by the, even, like, it's, if it's your own child telling it. Like, my uncle, for example, like, my, you know, when my mom and my aunt and my, and their brother, when they were growing up, like, my grandparents, like, you know, they were, like, maybe, like, lower middle class at best. And sometimes the way that he remembers things is, like, way worse than, like, they actually were. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, like, she just, like, because he'll air it out on Facebook. My grandmother gets, like, so upset because she's like, I don't want people to think that I didn't provide everything for my daughter, blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying that Rory would do that, but I am saying that I understand where Lorelai's coming from, yeah, basically.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the one thing in this is that when Lorelai says, well, you tell your story, that's basically her saying, you can't do this, because how could either of them talk about their lives without talking about the other person, you know, like without talking about their relationship? I mean, even if you're not talking about like whatever it is, Lorelai's early history and et cetera, like Rory would still be airing grievances, right? And Rory would still be talking about the times that they didn't speak with each other. And Lorelai says, mm-hmm. like, I've spent so long making sure that no one knew anything except what I wanted them to know. And I mean, that is very telling, because that extends to Luke, that extends to Emily, that extends to Rory in this instance. Like, we totally see how that is a character flaw for Lorelai, as well as, you know, obviously like a protective mechanism. But yeah, I mean, I think I err more on Selena's side in this. I think When I first watched this, I was like, this is so selfish of Lorelai. Oh my God. But I think that's just because I was mad at her. Like, I don't know, just the revival in general. Like, she'd just been kind of mean to Emily, and my, you know, I was on edge. And watching it again this time, I definitely saw more of where she was coming from. But I also think, like, it is slightly unreasonable for her to be, I mean, the hilarious joke of this, of course, is like, I mean, who's going to read this book by this random millennial girl who's like, let me talk about me and my mom. Like, no, that's going to sell like 20 copies, but cool, Rory, like, good job.
Yeah, wait for the TV show, something to do.
Yeah. Gotta sell those rights.
But you know, it's also kind of one of those things where, like, Lorelai has been, like, burned before. Like just take a look at, what is it, like, I think it's, like, season 2 or something, where Emily goes to the inn and she doesn't want to know that her daughter was living in a shed and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, she, like, there's a reason why she guards herself. I'm not saying that she should discourage her totally. Daughter, but I just, like, I don't know. I just kind of, like, I understand her initial, like, worry about the situation.
Sure, yeah. And it is very entitled of Rory also. Yeah.
And also, I mean, like, how is she supposed to know that no one's going to read it? Like, for, like, allegedly in this whole timeline, Rory's, like, this well-known freelance New York magazine writer person that everybody knows because of One Piece. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But
unrealistic, but...
That entitled thing, that's actually the thing I think is so interesting about it, and the thing I find it such a one of those impossible situations, similar to when we were talking about Emily and Lorelai, like their argument where you sort of like, oh shit, like at least for me, I saw it from both of their sides, and I was like, I don't know how to feel right now, and I love that. And I think it's similar here, because at the end of the day, like, they're both selfish. Like, both of their perspectives is selfish. Like, Lorelai is selfish because she wants to hold on to her, like, keep her story, like, keep Rory from telling hers by holding on to her own. Rory is selfish because she's basically taking for granted that Lorelai is just going to let Rory take her story and tell it to the world, you know, just because that's what Rory wants to do. And I think when you sort of hold them again and say, well, Rory wants... like sort of to bear Lorelai's secrets for her own gain. Lorelai wants to protect herself because that's like her secrets, because that's what she always does. Like when you put it like that, like I do sort of fall more like Lorelai's makes more like it's less selfish in a way. Like I don't know how to like it's more reasonable. Because also because yeah, you have no guarantee of and it's just like her daughter has been like again, I have nothing against like rootlessness. I am a little bit rootless myself, but her daughter comes out of the blue one day. It's not like Rory has been talking about this for years. It's not like she said one day, hey, so maybe like I was thinking like I really love like our story. I really want to like do something off that. Or how would you feel if I made up like I was inspired by our story but made up fictional characters? Like there has been no like Rory just comes out and drops it on her and being like I'm going to tell our story, the end. Like and from that like the more I think about it, the more I'm like wow, I really understand. Like my only point, my only problem with Lorelai was how she came at Rory for it and how flatly she refused. But I feel like that was a circumstantial. I think she's going to end up writing this book because it's my big theory. So I hope they're going to talk it through and find some kind of resolution, because obviously I don't think that Rory should be denied the right to tell her story. But I also think that Lorelai should be allowed to have some kind of say in what parts of her life are exposed. Because it's not just Rory.
Yeah, I think you've talked me into it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
But it's an interesting situation.
I'm Team Lorelai.
Yay.
It is. It is. So, you know, this all leads to, I mean, you think that, we'll get to your predictions in a sec, but you think Rory's going to go ahead and write the book. They kind of leave on it. They're not speaking. Lorelai gets home and announces to Luke that she's doing wild. Please discuss.
I think this is the best thing that I've like ever seen. It's so stupid.
Do you think she's gonna do it?
Yes. Well, mainly because I saw a promo picture of her like walking like in the woods. Hello. So I was like, oh, maybe that's why. That's what she's doing. I don't know.
Spoiler alert.
I hope so. Jeez. I hope she does wild. I mean, she's not gonna get very far.
Yeah. Well, she's reading, I mean, we haven't talked about the pool yet, but I think we'll get to it a little later, but she's reading Wild at the pool.
I love Wild. The book I love that she's this. Reading. I would so try to do Wild and fail spectacularly, so I hope that's what she does.
I think such a white woman reaction to problems. I'm going to go walk for a bit, like, okay?
Yeah. Yes, that is so what I do to solve my problems. But I didn't see her reading Wild, so that bit just came completely out of the blue. Like, I'm doing Wild. What a sentence. To throw out there.
Yeah, I don't think they make it especially clear that she was reading the book. No, it's just that you kind of notice later.
But, you know, the whole thing, again, of Lorelai, you know, sort of, what does she say? It's never or now. And just sort of deciding to jump in and do this. It is one of the things that I really like about her. And it sort of makes me a little bit optimistic about, like, life doesn't end when you're 35 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I like that kind of stuff about it.
Oh, when you're 48.
Yeah, yeah, but exactly, because she's like, you know, she's still just running around and following her impulses.
That's true. Pam, any thoughts before we move on?
It's just such a Lorelai move. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. I mean, Emily, the third Gilmore Girl, there's not that much going on with her. She's kind of a little off this episode. We don't see that much of her. We see that she's maybe a little distracted. She doesn't remember when she has things on and she's in bed and she has this new boy around.
Oh, yeah.
Are they getting a new daddy? Like, what is happening with this? I mean, I don't know. It was like Emily absent, I guess, because it was so much in Stars Hollow and because Lorelai and her aren't speaking.
Yeah. I'm worried about Emily. I think this is like a bad, like, it's, I feel... Like, she's totally losing... Like, I don't think she needs... This is going to sound so stupid, but, like, I don't think she needs to find a boyfriend so soon, you know? Like, it's fine, but not yet. I think she's heading for some kind of breakdown. I hope she's going to get some kind of happy ending at the end of all this.
But, you know, she needs somebody. She needs somebody, because at this point, like, Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know you're not, but I'm just saying that, like, it for, in me, like, I guess it makes sense that, like, somebody else would have come into the picture, like, not necessarily that it had to be a guy, but just somebody else, because
Lorelai's
not talking to her, and Rory is just, like, Rory, basically.
No,
and even, like, when she hears that her, it's so funny, because, like, when Rory, like, realizes that her grandma's in bed, you know, it's still in bed at noon, like, I don't know. It's just so weird to me that, like, her first instinct, because she's got nothing going on, wouldn't be to just, like, go over there and check on her. She, like, calls her mom, you know? Like, it's just really weird.
It is weird. She's like, no, I have to go to my job that doesn't pay anything to distribute a paper to people who don't read anything except this poem. I mean, I kind of feel like Emily seems, again, to be sort of the only one who's still grieving and kind of properly, like, at a loss for what to do. I mean, they're kind of all in ruts, I guess, in this episode, but with Emily it seems most notably Richard related for obvious reasons.
Well, I think it's also because Rory is, like, inherently not grieving at all, which is, again, very odd to me, because her and her grandfather were so close. And then Lorelai is grieving in her own Lorelai way, which involves getting angry at her mother. So, but like, Emily's grieving is just so heart-wrenching because she's completely lost. It's like the worst.
There's a missing, like, sort of element of Emily and Rory bonding over Richard. You know, of them sitting down and being like, remember when Granddad did this or whatever? Like, that's really missing. Like, it feels like it's so weird that it's not there. But I was just going to say on Emily, like, what I meant, like, I totally, like, she has always kind of made it very clear that she isn't good at being alone. So I totally agree that she should find some other form of companionship. I just meant, like, because she's still so clearly grieving Richard, like, she's never going to find another Richard, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think romantically, like, maybe that's not
or like what wait she needs a little right bit now. Until she's just like trying to fill a void, you know, that is never going to be filled. Sure.
Yeah, that's reasonable. I think that is very insightful. I totally agree about Emily and Rory. Like, Rory just is acting so bizarre basically in this whole thing, but her and Emily were also really close. Like, we talk about her relationship with Richard, but she was really close with her grandparents, and it does seem odd, you know, and even, like, she goes and visits her and we don't even really get to see any of that scene, which is a shame. So anyway, I guess we'll see. So that kind of brings us to an end of the Gilmore Girls, as it were. We'll get to some things we didn't like and some favorites in a second. What's going on with other people? I mean, we've basically talked about them all. Michelle, Luke, and Jess are kind of the extra people who feature in this. On Cameo Watch, we have April, who is back. She's 22 and in college and having an anxiety crisis. The most realistic thing that has ever happened on this show is April being like, it's really hard to be in college these days. Obviously, we have Sutton Foster and Christian Ball as the musical duo, as we have discussed previously. There is a great moment when Carole King comes back. We haven't seen her in the show yet. And she starts playing some of her music for the musical, and Taylor's like, no, it's not catchy. That's kind of it. It was kind of a Gilmore-focused episode. So we're going to jump into favorites, but first of all, Selena, hit us with those predictions. This is the last time you can do this.
No!
Yeah,
I didn't last realize time for Gilmore this Girls. Was the end. No. Here we go. Fall. Dean still needs to return, and I think that he's gonna come back like the most successful, put together, rich, just best guy of them all, because continuing the trend, like, he was the worst, so he now has to be the best, right? and he's gonna like give he's gonna be like another Boyfriends of Christmas Past, like, he's gonna give Rory like another piece of her, like, puzzle of her life that's missing, and then she's gonna be like, oh, I finally know what I'm gonna do, and then she's obviously gonna sit down and write her Gilmore Girls book, And I mean, I like to think she's not going to end up with Logan. I don't know for sure, but I feel like the anger and that's been outpouring kind of leads me to think that. I have a very, I'm not going to say the spoiler that I do know about Rory, but I do know it, unfortunately. Logan and Lorelai are going to work it out. Logan and Lorelai are going to get married. Because, like, I cannot believe a wedding hasn't happened yet, and I feel like it should. And Emily and... I like to think that Emily's going to find some kind of happy resolution because she's been so distraught and it's been very upsetting. And obviously I hope that resolution somehow involves her making up with Lorelai because their relationship is sort of the main... At this point, it's the main one that needs a resolution. And... I don't think James is coming back. I think he's done.
I think that's all we got. And you think, you think Lorelai is doing wild?
Yes, Lorelai is going to do wild, but she's going to come back after like a couple of days because wild is really hard for her. She's not really that wild as she thinks she is. And then Suki has to come back. Oh, I hope she's back to stay. And then Lorelai and Suki can get back on track with their inn. And that will be nice, even without Michelle. And I guess I guess my prediction of Lorelai and Luke possibly having a baby is kind of gone now, which is a shame because I was kind of hoping that would happen.
Well, they haven't really discussed it. I mean, no, I feel like that's it hasn't not come totally
up
resolved
yet since. No, I hope. I mean, I like to think that could come back up because I feel like Lorelai really did want it. And this is kind of like a reverse of that. Luke said that they were always going along with what she wanted, but in this very important instance, she was actually going along with what she thought he wanted. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. But that, and that would be, I mean, a really dumb way of giving them something that was theirs to share. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
He couldn't say, oh, April's mine, Rory's mine. They would have someone that would be theirs. And is Christopher, is he coming back? I guess not. We haven't really seen him yet, so maybe not.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask. Are there any other characters you think we're going to see in full that we haven't seen? Or, like, anyone who's going to come back, maybe? Like, side characters? Because that's kind of, they pop in and out. Anyone you're missing, you want to see again?
Kirk comes back, that would be... No, I guess just Christopher is the main one. Maybe we will see him. That would be fun, I guess. Okay. Maybe not.
All right. Well, those are some good predictions. That was a lot. And I'm so excited to be able to talk about the whole thing with you next time.
Yeah, same.
That is going to be great.
I can finally watch it. Maybe I should watch it right now after we finish. Like, I can be done with this.
Oh, my gosh.
That's true. Wait, you should watch it so you don't get spoiled. But can you, like, write down all of your thoughts while watching it or something? Because that's just so fascinating to me that you've waited this long. You've watched the whole thing. Like, your Gilmore Girls experience has just been hilariously bizarre.
It's been very special.
And, but you should definitely watch it so that you don't get any more spoilers. Because, you know, people, I think, are past the point of being careful. So
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some favorites. I'll get mine out of the way first. Definitely a Michelle-Lorelai interaction. When they're at the secret bar, Michelle's like, we have a baby on the way. And Lorelai's like, you do? Like, very surprised. And Michelle's like, I think Frederick ordered one. I have to check. It's amazing. Michelle's like, practice at becoming accustomed to children throughout this episode gave me life. Like, he was perfect in this. Pam, what have you got?
I just said that I enjoyed that Sutton Foster was there, but also did not really like the length of the musical and the way it dragged on in the episode. And then just in general, Michelle and Lorelai's friendship was just, it's so beautiful. I love it so much.
And Selena? Yeah,
same. That Michelle goodbye scene really got to me. I thought it was really wonderful. And I also just really enjoyed Carole King on the piano. I thought that was really fun. And of course they shut her down, but I really appreciated it. And Jess's return, I mean, let's be real, that was really great. And that whole Stars Hollow Gazette storyline was ridiculous, especially because they said it like a million times in that episode. Star Solo Gazette, Star Solo Gazette. It's kind of like reading Wild and how many times she says Pacific Crest Trail. That's kind of how I felt about that. But him coming back and it was wonderful.
Okay. Favorite characters. Oh, yeah, wait. Quick question about Carole King. Does that mean that in the Gilmore Girls universe, like, Carole King as a person does not exist? Because, like, if Sophie, the music owner, is singing the Carole King songs, like,
she's singing
Carole
the
King
intro.
In this alternate?
It's because, like Marima, it's when Rory's Gilmore Girls book is Options for a TV Show. This is when Sophie breaks through by making the title song for the Gilmore Girls TV Show.
Oh my god. Boom. I love this. This is my favorite theory I have ever heard. Okay, sign me up. Co-sign that, like, to the moon and back. Okay, I might have to change my favorite character to Selena for making that theory, but... I have to go with Michelle, who I think is, like, the MVP of this episode, like, because I'm missing Mrs. Kim, so I got to give it out to someone else. And Paris. Oh, it's really sad. Yeah, Michelle, I think that whole, like, resolution, you get to see the history between him and Lorelai in this when she's like, you were not 17 when we met, Michelle. Like, you are not 40 years old. All of that stuff was really beautiful. And then, I mean, obviously Jess, but... Pam, you've literally written obviously Jess, so do you want to talk about him?
I mean, like, there's not much more to say. I really think that Summer was stronger with the secondary characters, for sure. I think we've all kind of picked people like that. So yeah, but yeah, Michelle and Jess, like, all those people were great.
Yeah, same. And also April. I really liked seeing April again. I loved that she didn't look any different, except her hair was longer. I thought that was amazing. And I liked what she had become. And I liked how that whole, like, oh yeah, it's so cool at college, blah, blah, blah. It turned out to be a total ruse because she had no idea what she was doing. And she was having that breakdown with Rory. And that scene also just, like, pointed an uncomfortable fact, which was that I'm much more empathetic of April than I am of Rory. Like, in the scene between the two of them, I was like, oh, Rory, but oh, I like April. And that was kind of a weird realization of how I feel about Rory.
April's pretty sweet in this.
She's great.
Scene that we get with her and her, like, life crisis. Yeah. It totally makes sense. I guess I'm closer to April in age than Rory still, just... so
clinging on to
I'm so clinging to that. Okay, and finally, things we didn't love about the episode. Selena, you've been pretty positive, but was there anything? Yes. I mean, obviously the absence of Kirk.
Yes, I have been pretty positive. What this episode is not is body positive, am I right?
Oh god,
the repeated fat shaming jokes were, like, absurd. To the point when, like, I don't know how. It's one of those things you think, how does this get on television? How is the people involved with... Why didn't the cameraman go, excuse me, what is happening right now? That was below the what I thought Gilmore Girls was capable of. And then I want to say the 30-something club. I mean, that was also another repeated joke that just was not funny. Although I will say I am pretty, like... I gotta tip my hat. Like, Amy Sherman-Palladino is really committed to making 30 the new 20. And I think that's fine. I you know, my 20s aren't maybe going as well as I'd hoped, so I like to think that I have another round coming up. So I'm okay with that, even though this particular thing was dumb and the people who were 30-something were clearly 20-something.
Well, it's just a joke on millennials, right? I mean, to me, it kind of feels like a lazy joke. So
it was
I'm
so lazy because
it.
They kept repeating it over and over and over again, and, like, the same joke.
Yeah, and I totally agree. That fat shaming stuff at the pool at the start. I mean, the pool is, like, a cute idea, but, like, that was just so obnoxious and really uncomfortable. All of that, because it just makes you not like Rory and Lorelai. And you're meant to think it's funny. You're not meant to think, like, wow, they are really terrible people.
I also kind of felt like I was a little out of character too, because, like, there's no shortage of, like larger people. Like, you know, Suki is a plus size woman and Miss Patty lost all that weight now, but, like, in the original series she wasn't that thin. And, you know, Jackson and Taylor are, like, larger men, so It was just, it was very out of place. I felt like it was very out of place for the world because they'd never, like, you've never, I don't remember a time in the original run where Lorelai and Rory, like, made, you know, fat shaming jokes.
Yeah, no, because it was all about them eating.
Well, I wonder if there was, but maybe less overtly, like the way that you go back and watch some of the stuff and you like really cringe because it seems really homophobic and kind of tone deaf now. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we would have noticed that like on the rewatch that we just did.
That's true. Well, I'm sure people can let us know. Was there anything else, Pam, that you had?
I just had like a very generic, like it just, like it was so much filler that... yeah, but we've talked a lot about that. So that was just kind of like my main qualm with it.
Yeah. I know for an episode with so much filler, we found a lot to talk about. So,
because all the good, all the meaty stuff like merits more conversation.
That's true. Yeah, so. That's true. Although when we were talking about Spring, we were like, hey, we're done. Bye. So, <Yeah. laughs> you know, this has been a little better. Okay. I think that's it for summer. And we're going to jump into some listener feedback from you guys. If you want to let us know your thoughts for fall, we have already received a bunch of emails from people who sent them right at the very start when they first watched the show. I would be really curious if people have been doing a rewatch along with us, if their opinions have changed. A lot of mine definitely have. I was kind of looking back on some of what I thought when I first watched it recently, and I was like, that is not what I think now. So, that is interesting. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter at HyperbuHype. We are also at HyperbuHype on Instagram. You can send us an email, hype@hyperbull.com. Leave us a comment on this podcast post on hyperbull.com. And you can always find us on Tumblr, hypepodcast.tumblr.com. I know how to say websites. If you want to like ask us anything or whatever, you can do that on Tumblr too. That's fun. So we have tweets. Selena, why don't you kick us off?
All right, hold on. Okay, so the Lady Ash has an epic tweet here. She says, I did enjoy the musical, but didn't think it was their best use of time and resources, and it just felt like filler. Ugh to Rory writing a book about her and her mom. This tired plot device is too good for this show. She's so selfish. Maybe Lorelai wanted another kid because Rory got on her nerves post-college. Wow. Anything with Logan just makes me cringe. This doesn't make sense for 9 years later. Part of my issues with the revival so far is how the last 9 years were ignored. I get the creator had an ending in mind, but that last season was meant to take place almost a decade ago. Accept the challenge of imagining 9 years of development. We shall see how Lorelai handles the outdoors. It seems weird to suddenly go, but sometimes people have those moments. Yeah, so true, so true. Like, that's the missing 9 years is kind of, like, the key problem. You know what I just realized while reading this tweet? Is that it's so hilarious how Rory, if she does end up writing this book, it will literally be the exact same plot line as Chad Michael Murray in One Tree Hill. Full circle.
Does he write a book?
Yeah,
he's that's like right, Luke, he does.
Luke is the character. He writes a book, and it's called One Tree Hill.
Or he writes the book of the show you've just watched. I gave up on that after like Brooke stopped being amazing. So
Dawson's Creek also does that too.
She had a lull in the middle there. That's Wait, what true. Was that? Sorry, Ben.
Dawson's Creek also does that too. Dawson's like creating the TV Dawson show of. I enjoyed it. I don't know. It's been a while though. Shall we get this next tweet here from Marie? You guys ready to?
Let's do it.
Okay. Marie says, I thought the musical was funny, if a bit too long, but worst episode of them all because fat shaming and the dumb moving back joke.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. We have a tweet from Natalia who said about the musical, I only enjoyed the first 2 minutes because I love Sutton Foster and Christian Bale. It was pretty insufferable. Fair.
Yeah. And Amanda Conlon says, I didn't like the musical. Too long, went from weird funny to secondhand embarrassment. I can't watch this. Why isn't it ending?
Yes, oh my God. My thought process.
I love that so many of our listeners are like, they're on our same page here. One last tweet here from Laura who says, hashtag Gilmore Girls Summer. I'm a big theater nerd. And to be honest, the musical was my least favorite part. It fell so flat for me. I felt like it could have gone to developing other characters. And because of that, it was my least fave.
Yeah.
And that's it. Totally agree with all of those, I think. That's, guys, it feels weird. we've only got one more of these to do, and no. I'm excited about it. But it's also going to be very strange for Selena to, like, you know, we're not going to be able to do our poker voices anymore, Pam, where we go like, oh, yeah, oh, interesting, I know. Theory. I wonder.
Like, it's the end of an era. I'm going to know everything you know.
Right. Well, is this how it's going to, is this how it's going to be when we finish the 100 specials that we're doing?
Plug yeah, for yeah. other great, things. Great plug. I thought if you so. Have listened this far, we are getting to the end of Gilmore Girls, but we are about to, well, we've actually started doing a rewatch of the 100, which you may have noticed Selena references almost as much as Buffy, and Pam and I have never seen it. So even though I read the book and can't remember it. So Pam and I are watching it for the first time, and Selena is getting her revenge on us because we have no idea what's coming. And she can do her poker voice and laugh at all our theories, of which we had many. We just released our episode about season one, and we are going to be getting to season two pretty soon because season four is when season four premiere.
February 1st.
February 2nd. Oh, is it 1st? Yeah. For some reason, I have February 2nd in my brain.
Well, but this is a perfect example of the newbie and the superfan.
Yep.
Selena knows what's up. Pam just decides.
That's right. That's what I'll be watching February 2nd. I don't know about you guys.
Yes. So we the plan was to get them done before
maybe
then.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is February 2nd. Now I have to look it up. Thanks for reminding me. Wow. I might actually be wrong.
Well, Selena's going to do
you're probably right. But, what do I know?
We will be recording specials for season two and three kind of around then. Season two could be out before then, and season three probably just a couple weeks after maybe. Because like there's not as many episodes as Gilmore Girls, luckily, in each season, which is nice. But
and we are chugging
you
through.
You need a little more. Yeah, but you also need a bit more recovery time. Like, true. It's a bit more stressful.
Yeah, yeah.
The 100.
Like, you know, Gilmore Girls has the la-la-las, and those are not non-existent in the world.
There are no la-la-las unless they're sung by Imagine Dragons. Yes, so we are having a lot of fun doing that, and we hope you guys will join us on that journey. Maybe if you haven't seen either, this is a good time to watch it. It's on Netflix, so, and the seasons are not that long. I think first season was only like 13 episodes, so it's mm-hmm. totally doable.
It's
and
very bingy,
and we're having a blast doing that, which yeah. So do you find out, is it February 2nd
or it's the 1st? I was right.
No, okay. I don't know. I gave myself an extra day in planning. I don't know why. Yeah. You doubted yourself. You should have doubted me.
TBH, like, we're not going to watch it till we've finished season 3 anyway.
That's so true. Unless Selena makes us wait so we can keep doing the same process.
Because I've already seen spoilers because it's currently airing. Like, yeah. I keep seeing spoilers in headlines.
I mean, I am spoiling things, so, like, I can't expect anyone else.
Yeah. But, yeah. No, it's your fault. Those are the headlines I keep seeing and, like, pictures of people, and I'm like, oh, well, I guess they're not dead.
Yes. I'm spoiling season 4 now, so, like, whatever.
That's right.
On that cheery note, we will be back to talk about Gilmore Girls Fall, A Year in the Life's final episode, the apparent finale of Gilmore Girls as far as we know for now, in which there is less death than in the 100 season 1, I feel comfortable saying. Well, that would become a very different show. Maybe if it's the ghosts of boyfriends past, though, Rory wakes up and, you know, everyone's dead. It's just Rory. We will find out. So we are very excited to talk about that. We will let you guys know on Twitter at HyperbuleHype when we are going to record that. But hey, if you don't want to miss out on sending us your feedback, you better just get it to us now. And that includes feedback on the Fall episode as well as generally on the show itself, because we'll be talking about it as a whole finally, which will be very exciting to hear what Selena thinks and to hear what Pam and I think, because I haven't rewatched Fall since I first saw it. So this will be fun times. Anyway, we'll be back with that soon. Thank you guys so much for listening. And of course, don't forget to check out our regular Hype episodes every week with the latest entertainment news. And goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Oh, my God. It's almost the end. Oh, where you